Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth it brings to our lives. And we pray as we engage this year in this whole theme of building a healthy church, and as we begin to look at that about fasting, we pray you'll give us some insight, some understanding, but more than anything else, that you give us a willing heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know who your favorite action superhero is. I know it's Don, Erica, don't worry. But I meant of the animated kind. Who's your favorite super action hero? We went to watch the new Spider-Man this week. It was okay. It was just okay. Sorry, Amelia. It was just okay. I don't know if you're a Spider-Man, any Spider-Man fans, any Batman fans, Captain America. It divides opinion, doesn't it? Because we all identify with certain aspects of superheroes, or maybe it's something that we were brought up. Personally, I'm the original Superman man. Christopher Reeve is the only Superman. Yeah, I know that divides opinion, but it's not in the Bible, so you still have to love me. And I think what happens in our Christian life sometimes is we almost apply that superhero model to our Christian life. And we look at other people and we think they're better Christians than we are. We think sometimes that you have to be kind of a superhero to be a Christian. Do you know that person who has 10 miracles before breakfast and just gets every prayer answered and never seems to have any issues with the in-laws and all of that kind of stuff that goes on? And we look at our own life and we think, I feel very ordinary. And I struggle with some stuff, and it's day two of the fast and I'm already thinking about McDonald's. I know some of you are. But truthfully, when we look at the Bible, we actually find that it's ordinary people living for God. James 5 verse 17 in the Amplified Version should be coming on screen for you. Says this: Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed intensely for it not to rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible not only that it happened, and then the miracle was that when he spoke again, God sent the rain, but that he was an ordinary man with the same limitations, the same tiredness that we would have felt, the same prone to be discouraged that we were. Read the scriptures. He was exactly the same as us. And I think that's one of the things that we need to understand. That's part of being a healthy church. We're ordinary people with an extraordinary God. We were all ordinary. In fact, Paul says that to the Corinthians. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many were noble. Not many were wise. Not many were wealthy. Not many were influential. 1 Corinthians 1:26. And we are ordinary people, and we live with that. And we want to kind of go through this year with the understanding that we're building a healthy church through us. As we said last week, an imperfect church. But as we gather together in community, God can do something through us. So if you have your Bible, we're going to look at Matthew 6. And over the next few weeks, I want to kind of look at some very ordinary, very simple things that Jesus talked about that should mark the life of a follower of Christ. Not the SAS of Christianity. Not the special forces. Not the Marines. Not the ninjas. None of the stuff. The stuff that Jesus says in Matthew 6 is for ordinary disciples. It's for all of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that we see this. See, when we talk about fasting, as we will in a minute, fasting is not an issue of diet. It's about discipleship. Fasting is not about diet. It's about discipleship. And we'll come on and investigate that a little bit more. But Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to select a couple of bits out of this. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. See a pattern here? See a pattern of the Father, pattern of the reward, and then come down to verse 16. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Jesus expects his followers to do those things. Not for the SAS, not for the special forces, not for the ninjas, for ordinary followers of Jesus Christ, when you do it. And part of the challenge we have in fasting is that Jesus doesn't really explain that, does he? Because part of the culture of the day, the Jewish people would have understood what he meant by that. They would have practiced it regularly. And Jesus comes and he actually challenges their motivation about fasting. And we'll come on to that in a little bit. In a minute. But I want to recommend two resources for you, two books for those of you who like to read. And I do encourage devotional reading during the fast as well as reading your Bible. One of those is God's Chosen Fast by author Wallace. Some of you will know it. It's kind of a classic. You can get it on eden.co.uk. There's a few copies left. You can get it on Amazon. And the other one, which I personally think is a modern classic, it's written by Jenton Zen Franklin. It's called The Fasting Edge. Again, you can get some copies on Amazon or on Eden. Just really inspirational stories and his experience of fasting and some stuff on scripture from that. So if you're kind of new to fasting or thinking, how do I do this? How do I have that passion for God in those areas? Then I would recommend those two resources. Because for us, the Bible doesn't overtly explain fasting. It's something that's unfamiliar to lots of people in the Western world. Now, those of you from all other cultures will have been brought up with the concept of fasting, will understand it, will have been taught on it, will understand the discipline of it. But truthfully, in the Western world, it's a spiritual discipline that's often been neglected. It's not been emphasized, but it has great benefits. Fasting is breaking out of that normal routine of what we would do with our food to spend more time in God, with God and in his presence. And the theme really for our fast this year comes from Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, do you hear that again? May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's the purpose of fasting. It's not a diet. It's not a hunger strike. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's actually wanting to draw close to the Father, wanting to know the heart of the Father better for us. And honestly, I want to say this nicely, but I want to be very direct about this. If this isn't a time and a season in our life and in our world where the people of God need to seek him and fast, then when are we going to do it? Seriously. In all honesty, what would it take for you to get to that place of wanting to fast and wanting to seek God for breakthrough if you can't do it in this season? And after the last 2 years we've had and the uncertainty that still presents itself. Honestly, I don't know what it would take, and I don't say that in judgment, but God help us to soften our hearts that we would understand the times and seasons in which we live and that the people of God seek the face of God. God wants us to take action. We know our families. We know our friends. We know the world needs us to be passionate for God. And the leaders can't give you that. I can't give you that. You cannot delegate your spiritual passion for God to me. You have to get that for yourself. So what is the Daniel Fast? I'm going to work through some practical things in terms of the Daniel fast. What is the Daniel fast? Because that's what we're doing for the 21 days. Daniel fast is based on Daniel 1 verses 11 to 16, where Daniel has been taken to Babylon, which is the world superpower of the day. And he was due to be trained in the culture and the foods and the history and the language. So the enemies of God's people often take them prisoners and re-educate them in order to immerse them in the culture in the view that they would forget their God and go to these pagan gods. And Daniel comes and says, do you know what? I've decided that I'm not going to defile myself by eating the king's foods. Because the problem with it wasn't just the foods, is that the foods were offered to idols. The foods were offered in ways that Daniel would have found defilement and would have found inappropriate to follow God. So he says, I'm not going to do that. And he approaches the supervisor, and the supervisor is very nervous about this because he says, listen, the king could have my head for this. If he sees that you're not looking well, it's my head that's on the block. And Daniel says, okay, what I want you to do is test this for 10 days and see how we look after that. And the miracle is at the end of 10 days, the Bible records that they looked better nourished and healthier than those who'd been given all the rich foods of the king's table. And so, and he only had vegetables to eat and only drank water. And so the Daniel fast comes out of that. And later in Daniel, if you read it, he talks about 21 days praying and praying for breakthroughs for his nation at that time. So that's where the idea of the Daniel fast comes out. Daniel 1 verses 11 to 16. So how do we actually do it? I think there's some slides that we can move on with, you guys. So how do we actually do it? Well, firstly, it's not a diet. Matthew 4 verse 4 says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I love my bread. Some of you do too. It's part of my culture. Bread and potatoes, that's the staple diet of the Irish. So giving up bread for me during the fast is a sacrifice because it's meaningful. But God actually says that the fasting isn't about dieting. It's also not about a hunger strike. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 11 for a minute. It's not a hunger strike to persuade a reluctant God to answer our prayers. Because sometimes that's what we actually think, isn't it? If I can only kind of be loud enough. Some of you come from cultures where the louder you pray, it means God has heard you. Is that right? The longer and the louder you pray, then God has to have heard your prayer. Well, God's not a reluctant God. And Jesus unpacks that for us in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is a God of how much more. So when he tells us to keep on asking and persist, it's not for his benefit. It's for ours. Because sometimes we need to persist so that we actually really know we want that things. Liz and I were talking this week and talking about Tyler going through the catalogues for all the toys that he wanted. My kids used to do that too, and they'd end up with 99 presents that they wanted. Until 3 days later, the list of 99 had changed again. And sometimes we're like that in our prayers. We start off saying, God, I really need you to do this or want you to do this. But actually, it drops off our prayer because it isn't the hunger of our heart. It isn't the passion of our heart. And we quickly forget. So the keep on asking and the persistence in prayer that Jesus encourages in Luke 11 is not because God is reluctant, it's because something has to happen in us in order to receive. So it's not a hunger strike, nor is fasting an attempt to earn God's approval. You know, we say this regularly. The gospel we preach and the gospel of the New Testament is the gospel of grace. That means you're not as bad as you sometimes feel. And you're not as good as you sometimes think. It's God's grace that's important. And that's the message Paul preached. And he said, if anyone else preaches a gospel other than this gospel, even if it's an angel from heaven, let them be accursed. Because the only gospel is the gospel of God's grace. We do not earn God's salvation, do we? We don't earn God's favor to come to that place of faith or being born again. And neither do we actually do it in continuing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul's writing to a church who'd got caught up in a bit of legalism. And so people are saying, from a Jewish background, oh, you need to keep this feast, you need to keep this regulation, you need to keep this law, because it's Jesus and... And Paul says, no, it's not. It's Jesus only. Because, Galatians 3:2, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Folks, I think that's a message we need to hear for all of our lives, but particularly true with fasting. Fasting does not earn you God's approval. We already have that in Christ. We're in Christ. We're complete in Him. We have His acceptance, and out of acceptance, we want to please Him. We want to do God's will, and as Jesus said, part of that is the discipline of fasting. So don't think in your fasting it makes you more holy. Don't think in your fasting it makes you more acceptable to God or more approved by God. No. That's not the gospel of grace. It helps us, and it focuses us, but it doesn't earn us God's approval in doing that. So what's the purpose of fasting? There's a couple of things. Number one, I think fasting is an opportunity to humble ourselves. Is it just me, or does pride easily creep up in our lives? It does, doesn't it? It kind of sneaks up on you, and before you know it, there's a proud thought. There's a proud action, there's a proud attitude. And the Bible says that pride is a killer in our life. And one of the reasons I like fasting is that the Scripture says fasting allows us to humble ourselves before God. Psalm 35, verse 13. David talks about a time where he says, my prayers returned to me unanswered. He was seeking God for something. He wanted to know what was happening, and he wasn't getting anywhere. Maybe some of you have experienced that. He said, yet when they were all ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. There's something about denying our own physical appetites, our own flesh, our own bodily needs, because they shout out a lot to us, don't they? Paul actually says that for some people, their stomach has become their God. And it's so easy to get caught up in the culture of food and comfort eating and all of those things. And God says, no, I want to be the source of your strength. And one of the things the fasting will do is it'll allow us to humble ourselves. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many of you will know it. If my people who are called by my name will and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. God says we have to do four things. Now, if it was me, I would have started with praying. But the problem is, as we know, we can even pray in pride, can't we? What about the guy that went to the temple and there was the tax collector, the sinner, but he was a Pharisee. And he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man because I fast twice a week. Wow. And the other guy came and said, the Bible says he struck his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, even in prayer, we can come to God with pride. So I think with fasting, the starting point is humbling ourselves. Because when we humble ourselves, I think we're then ready to pray rightly. Because when we humble ourselves, then we come and we realize, God, you know what? That attitude was wrong. The way I handled that was wrong. The way I did that was wrong. And it's not the big sins. It's often the subtle things, the little foxes that spoil our vines, Scripture says. And so during fasting, as we humble ourselves before God, God will often point out those things that He wants to just deal with in our life. Why is this important? James chapter 4 says this, but He gives us more grace. God wants to give grace in your life. That is why Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Do you want God's favor in your life? Do you want God to be for you? Then it starts with humbling ourselves. And I can tell you from experience, fasting, and particularly a long period of fasting, will get you to that place quickly where you're humbled and you recognize your need and your dependence on God very quickly. Without Him, we can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Nothing of eternal and spiritual significance will happen if we're not connected to Him. Fasting, secondly, is an opportunity to hear God better. You talk about all sorts of pollution today, and people are very aware about the environment. But one of the things that people don't always talk about is noise pollution. There's so much noise in our world, and we're aware of that living close to Gatwick, aren't we? It becomes there in the background, but it's noise pollution. Whether that's cars, whether that's music, whether it's the fact that you have to go in the bathroom to get some quietness in your house. Some of you with families, if you haven't got a lock on your bathroom door, get one, I encourage you. Sometimes that's the only place we get quietness, because so much of our life is filled with noise. And for our own health, for our own well-being, we need times of silence. We need times of quietness. We need times of solitude to be alone with ourselves, with our own thoughts, and with God. Fasting, I think, allows us to slow down a little, to make some space for God to listen more. Last night we told the story from Acts chapter 13 of the early church gathering together with a whole load of diversity. Acts chapter 13, if you have your Bible. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So many good things that can come out of that passage that we could preach on by itself. The diversity of the church, the different giftings coming together, different nationality, different groups. The fact that they were worshipping during the fast, because it's not just about the food, it's about the Father. And that repeatedly comes through in Matthew 6 and all that we've read. It's not about the food, it's about the Father and getting to know Him better. And so they were worshiping the Lord and making time for that. And out of that, the Holy Spirit speaks into their life and confirms the call of God upon their life. Confirms the gifting, confirms what it is they should be doing. And then out of that, one of the greatest missionary endeavors is launched in the early church. All of that because they were able to hear God, because they set aside time for fasting and waiting on God. I believe it's a great opportunity to do that. Maybe there's things you need to hear for God in your own life. I do. Stuff in our family that we want to see God do. Stuff in ministry that I don't think I've reached all that God has for us. I think there's things God wants to do in our life as a church. So those are the type of things that I know I want to hear God in and lead the church in. So I need to pray. I need to fast. I need to seek God, and I suspect you do as well. Now, Lisa, this is your moment of fame. Andy Warhol said that we all have 15 minutes of fame. And we were on the question and answer session on Zoom on Tuesday night, and I said to folks that if you have any questions that you want clarified about fasting, particularly if you've not done it before, and I said one of the important things is that we make time for prayer, that we make time for God. And Lisa got us all laughing, which he said, yeah, that's easy. I was always told you pray when you pee. She says, every time you go to the toilet, pray. You pray when you pee. Now, Lisa, I've searched the Bible. It's not actually in there, but it's a good principle. Some of you may think, I don't have time to pray. Well, if you're drinking more water during the fast, guess what you're going to be doing? So I know that all of you can pray more during these 21 days. Now, I also know that in a month's time, the only thing you're going to remember about this sermon is what Lisa said, pray when you pee. That's a sad fact, Amara, but that's what will happen. No one will remember this sermon, but they'll remember what Lisa said. On a serious note, we do want to hear from God. And it is an opportunity to hear God better. Do we want to just continue the same routines? Do we want to just go through the year as we did last year with nothing changing? See, that's the definition of lunacy. Doing the same things time after time but expecting different results. That's the definition of lunacy. If you want different results in your life, in your family, in your spiritual life, you're going to have to do something different. And one of the things I think you're going to have to do is seek God and make fasting a priority in your life. It's one of the commitments I said that I would do when I came here almost 3 years ago, that I would teach you and lead the church in prayer and fasting. That's why this Tuesday night and then Thursday night we're doing a couple of things on prayer. On Tuesday night, we're having an opportunity, really. There'll be lots of space for you. And we're kind of going to take you through some of those steps to freedom in Christ. Some of you who were on Zoom with us in the autumn of last year, we went through some of those things and we met together and we talked about them. And we're going to give you a framework over the 3 weeks of the fast to really do a spiritual MOT and look to remove any blockages, any hindrances from our life, anything that we haven't dealt with, and come before God and say, God, I don't want any hindrances. I don't want any obstacles. I don't want any blockages. I want to be clean before you. And so the Tuesday nights are designed to do that. So honestly, if you know there's an area in your life where you're held captive, or there's an area in your life where the enemy is oppressing you, or there's an area in your life where you can't seem to break free from, would you come on Tuesday nights? We may be able to record it, but I can't guarantee that because it just depends on who comes and how we work. I will be able to send you the notes if you want those, if you really can't make it. But can I encourage as many as possible to come? The fast is only lasting for 3 weeks. If we need to reorder things, if some of you really don't want to come or don't want to come on the Tuesday nights, maybe you could offer to babysit for those who can and who really do want to come and feel that, that would be important for them. But can I encourage you, whatever way you do it, try and make it a priority. Try and deal with these obstacles in your life. We want to give a platform for that. So that's Tuesday night for the next 3 weeks. And you won't have to confess anything out loud. You won't be coming up to the front. Nothing like that. You'll have space to deal with this before God for yourself. Really, I'm just facilitating that and giving you the framework and the steps to do that in, okay? So please be assured about that and be at peace about that. But let's do it if we know there's obstacles. And on the Thursday nights, for the duration of the fast, we're going to come together and do what we would call an old-fashioned prayer meeting, where we're actually going to bring our petitions before God, where we're going to bring our needs, where we're going to pray for our families, where we're going to pray for those who are not yet Christians, where we're going to pray for Easter. We have some great plans for what we want to do over Easter. Let's come and pray into these now. Let's seek God for them now. So again, if you can't make the Tuesday, then there's an opportunity to come and pray on the Thursday. And we will, no doubt, send out some lists. So even if you can't make it, you can still join with us in prayer. But can I encourage you? If fasting is an opportunity to hear from God. So we just need to make space for that in our life. Finally, fasting is an opportunity to hope in God. Man, we need hope, don't we? We need that sense of hope. The world needs that sense of hope, and we need to be the people that bring that to them. Ezra chapter 8 tells the story of Ezra, who's going back to Jerusalem. It was part of the time of around time of Nehemiah. They were contemporaries. And God wanted the temple to be rebuilt, but the people were still captive. And Ezra had this vision for doing this, and he began to pray, and he got great favor of the pagan king. And he says, okay, we're going to let you go back, and we're going to let you travel hundreds of miles But the problem with traveling is, at that stage, was the bandits would come and they would capture your possessions. They would take your family often into slavery if they didn't kill them. So traveling, you think it's hard traveling during coronavirus? Then when you've got bandits and people wanting to kill you, traveling was serious, and often you had to have a military escort. And Ezra comes and he says this, Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. And there by the Ahava canal, I give orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before God. See that again? Fast and humble ourselves. We pray that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we travel. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from our enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. Fasting for people, fasting for our property, and one version talks about fasting for the little ones. I think that's a lovely version. That's a lovely way of saying for those of us who have family, praying for our little ones. Whatever age our children are, they're always the little ones, aren't they? They always remain our children. And so Ezra's coming and saying, you know what? We want to put our hope in God. But to get to that place, we need to pray and seek God, because people are watching our lives. If we claim to be followers of Christ, people are watching us. People are watching our reactions. People are watching how we deal with circumstances. People are watching where we put our hope. And Ezra comes and says, you know what? We're going to pray earnestly. We're going to seek God. We're going to humble ourselves, because I know we need to put our hope in God. It's such an important thing in Scripture. And some of you may have been discouraged, may be discouraged. Do you know what? When you get alone with God, when you see him working, when you see him answering prayer, it does something for you that no amount of sermons, no amount of singing, no amount of prayer from someone else will do in your life. When you get that breakthrough and hear God for yourself, God does something. So my encouragement is to use fasting as an opportunity to hope in God. So how does this make a difference in your life? I want to suggest three simple ways. Resolve to do the 21 days of some form of restricted eating. Now, if you've been on Signal or you've seen any of the emails, I'm not legalistic about fasting. I don't set rules and regulations, because I don't think we can. It's a voluntary act that we're doing personally, that we happen to be doing it at the same time. But it's a voluntary act before God in obedience to him. So how exactly we do that is dependent on our circumstances. Some of you I know are giving up fizzy drinks, and the Daniel fast really is helpful if you can give up meats, certainly alcohol. Bread is something we give up, but there's lots of things. We sent them out on Signal, but at the end of the day, it's what you choose before the Lord to do, but resolve to do it for the 21 days. And not only focusing on the food or lack of it, but focusing on the Father. That's the key. Because if it's just about fasting, then we will get incredibly hungry. Every rumble of our tummy will be, oh, I'd love a something now. I'll not say the M word again. But if we focus on the Father, we don't even have to go into the toilet to pray. Because every time we hear our stomach rumbling, we can pray. We can just say, Father, I thank you that even as I'm hungry for food, I'm more hungry for you. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So can I encourage you to resolve to do it? Do you know what? It is possible. Your head will not fall off. Your arm will not drop off if you have a restricted diet for 21 days. Trust me. Do I look as if I've not flourished, Keegan? Don't answer that. This stuff works. It is possible. As we've said, if you need to do that under medical supervision and talk to your doctor in order to do that, that's fine. We encourage you to do that. We've also put out lots of recipes and stuff that you can look up online to make that a little bit creative. But please, in your heart, do it. We've also started a 21-day devotional on the YouVersion Bible app. A number of you have joined us on that already. If you're on YouVersion, you could join in the fasting plan. We're all kind of interacting with one another, reading the same scripture, listening to a two-minute devotional together, just to be doing this together and supporting one another in that. Whether you do that through the YouVersion Bible app, there's another one that Bev and I use. It's called Lectio 365, L-E-C-T-I-O. Again, you can do that and build that in. You can listen to it and it guides you through that. It takes us about 10 minutes in the morning together. So it's very doable whenever you do that. However you do it, it's not legalism from the front, but resolve to do it. Resolve to make that commitment before God for 21 days. Secondly, resolve to remove every obstacle and hindrance in your spiritual life with God's help. Some of us need new rhythms and patterns, don't we? Maybe physically we need that, maybe with our food, maybe with our mindsets. Well, it's really interesting when we're fasting what God reveals about our mindsets and our thinking during those times. Maybe we need to ditch some old thinking and actually begin to think in a different way. We have the freedom nights. We have the prayer nights. Resolve to deal with the issues that God wants to deal with in your life. And finally, resolve to meeting with others. Whether that is the prayer nights, whether you do that, I know some of you are on shifts and can't make those nights. Ask someone to be part of a prayer triplet with you for the 21 days. Just get someone and say, do you know what? Because of shifts, I can't make it. Can we do FaceTime? Can we do Signal? Can we do something together that will just allow us to interact? Whatever way you can, do it. That's the encouragement, isn't it? And with modern technology, we can do it so easily today. We don't even have to be in the physical building. So I'm encouraging you to do that. We can move forward and we can do that together. Here's what the Bible reminds us. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So Father, we thank You for this opportunity right at the start of the year to focus more on the Father than on the food we take in. Help us, we pray. Help us, Lord, to have the grace to just follow through on what You say is an important discipline as a follower of Christ. Help us so that in growing together, we can become the healthy church that You want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have any questions as we go through, then please do feel free to talk to us. Don't struggle alone. Don't give up. And if you do give in to temptation, then start again. Start again from that day and resolve to do it. If you've never done it before, the 21 days may be a challenge to you. I heard of one pastor who had a staff member who'd never done the 21-day fast before. And he said, I don't like this, Pastor, and I don't want to do this. He said to him, you're on staff in this church. You're doing the fast. After 14 days, he gave in and went and had a burger. Came into the pastor's office and confessed. He said, it's okay. If you've done 14 days on your first time, well done. Put that behind you and start again. There's still 7 days left. So even if you make a mistake, just start again and resolve to do that in your heart. Amen. Well, we're going to do some announcements and then the kids will probably come back in and show us what they've been doing. So if I could have the announcement slide just as a prompt to me, that would be great. Yeah, so for those of you who feel they may struggle, you will notice with Lee, she has a little badge. She's not exempt from face covering. go back one for the other one. There's another slide on that fast. That's the one. So if you need, get a little lanyard that says, I warn people, I'm on the fast, I may be a little bit more grumpy than normal. Huh? That passes, thank God, but you may need to ask for forgiveness. And if that doesn't work, then you can have this second one. For your own safety, please back away. So if Lee's a little bit edgier than usual, she has the lanyard, just make sure she shows it. Next slide, please, guys. No. We've done that one. We're not doing a 42-day fast. Giving. One of the things that we said that we would do is that we would talk about giving, really, because it's an important spiritual principle. And you've seen that from Jesus already. We're going to talk more about that next week. But I want to talk to you for a moment just about the freedom that comes. We believe because of Jesus Christ we have spiritual freedom, yes? Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. We know that Jesus died for our sins. He rose again, breaking the power of sin and death over us. That's what Jesus makes possible. But we actually have a responsibility to choose to believe that and to choose to follow him. It doesn't happen automatically. In fact, the Bible says that we're born in sin and we need to be born again. So following Jesus doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens in the process of our lives. It happens in the everyday part of our lives. And I think that's true for giving as well. Whether we need to be free from addictions, past hurts, bad habits, or financial debt, our first step is always admitting that we need to do something about it, isn't it? Jesus met a man in John chapter 5, and the scripture should be coming up. John chapter 5, Jesus met a man who had a paralysis that kept him crippled for 38 years. And Jesus does something. The verse should be there. It's definitely there. We checked it before the service. Okay. So John chapter 5 verse 6. Jesus says, do you want to get well? Now I find that an incredible statement for someone who's lying, obviously crippled. But Jesus knew he had to make the choice that he actually wanted to be well, because he was comfortable. He was locked into his environment. He was locked into his situation for 38 years. Even if you're crippled, you get comfortable in your circumstances, which is why Jesus told him, take up your mat and go. And in the process of doing that, he got out of stuck. And I think that's one of the things that happens with us as well when it comes to giving. We get stuck, but we don't have to. And part of the unstuckness is in releasing our finances to God. Because money can have such a hold on our life, can't it? We'll talk about that more next week. But when we give and when we honor God with our giving, we're releasing something back to God. It releases us. So we can pray and ask God for his help. Let's do that. Jesus, we read in John chapter 5 of this man who was paralyzed for 38 years. And he must have given up all hope of change with the challenges that he faced and the challenges that we face that may include financial challenges. We need fresh hope. For some, they've been buried in debt and are living with the consequences of that and maybe even the shame of that. Maybe we feel that our families have always struggled in this way. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to learn and to trust you, not just with food, but also with our finances, that in every area of our lives, we honor you. Would you lead us into greater freedom in our finances and greater obedience in the name of Jesus? Amen.